Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Season 2, Episode 5 of Biscuits Calling a Hockey Podcast. I am Dave, your mealy-mouthed host who talks first here in Brooklyn, New York, in the United States of America. And my partner is, he's in the middle of a storm, I believe.
Yeah, we're having like a rainy, windy storm up here at the Vice Ottawa headquarters. So, if it sounds like I'm like coming to you from the middle of a haunted house or something like that, it's I'm not like doing that for effect.
Ooh, the NHL is going to get you. You know what's funny is I just went to the bathroom here in Vice, and in the men's room downstairs here, there's like an ambient sound machine in there where you can click on or tap Brooke out, there were crickets and stuff while I was going to the bathroom. It was really weird. It was like I was peeing in the woods. And it's, wow. I'm looking around and I'm like, are there crickets in the bathroom? What the hell's going on? And it's just a machine there. I guess that just helps you, you know, do your thing if you're, you know, stressed, I guess. I don't know.
I didn't know that was a thing that anyone needed or wanted, but
I'm standing there and I'm like, I'm hearing the crickets and I'm like, I'm looking around. I'm like, is there an infestation? Nope. It's just, you know, there's running water, I guess that helps. Yeah. I don't know.
You should go grab it and bring the crickets on up for when we start dropping one-liners.
Can bring the crickets to give you that feeling like you're at a Florida Panthers game.
Yes.
Boom. Zing. should we start with the hot news of the day that may not no longer be the hot news of the day by the time you hear this? The Joe Thornton, Tom Wilson, Caps Sharks shenanigans from last night.
The Joe Thornton bum check. The controversy involving Joe Thornton's buttocks that was not the controversy that we thought we might get from Joe Thornton someday, where he, I don't know. I mean, you saw the hit, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it was mildly late a little bit,
TJ,
but Oshie. I think it was accidental.
It was weird though, yeah. Right? Like TJ Oshie goes into the corner with, was it Logan Couture? I don't know, with another shark, gets kind of tangled up with him. And as he's falling, Joe Thornton just kind of arrives and mushes his butt cheek into TJ Oshie's face.
The classic mush butt cheek check. We all know and love.
Yeah, the classic textbook.
Textbook
just
check.
The way they teach you. And like when you first see it, you're like, oh, that's just, you know, that's one of those things. I mean, if you're falling, the other guy can't really change direction. And but the thing was, the puck was nowhere nearby at that point.
Yeah, it was late.
Like there was really no reason for Joe Thornton to skate over and involve himself or his butt cheeks in that play in any way. But he does, and TJ Oshie gets hurt, leaves the game. One of those situations where it kind of, I don't want to say maybe looked worse than it is, because I don't think we know exactly what the injury may have been, but
he's day to day as of this exact moment.
At the time, it looked like it could be serious. He kind of, you know, seemed like he was either knocked out or at least in some pain on the play. Then in the next period, Tom Wilson skates over and challenges Joe Thornton to a fight, which is something that Tom Wilson does fairly often, and Joe Thornton doesn't do very much, but Joe Thornton being the good Canadian boy that he is, honors the code and agrees to fight a guy who's got like 1/50th of his skill level, even though it's the third period of a close game. Wilson wins the fight fairly easily.
Yeah.
And then after the game, San Jose coach Peter DeBoer is furious about this. He was really kind of unhappy with the fact that the Capitals went after Joe Thornton and said that he would have been fine with it if it had happened right after the play, but the fact that it was done later bothered him, which is kind of the opposite of what most of us tend to say. Like it in general, these days, everybody's so sick of fights right after clean or semi-questionable hits. But apparently that's the time where you're supposed to do it, according to the San Jose Sharks. I don't know. I feel like I should have a strong opinion one way or another, but I just, my takeaway
just
was
just make up one for the podcast. Weird. Make one up. Just get really intense about one side. I'll take the other. That's how you get ratings. Do it. Just go crazy. Say Joe Thornton's a coward. Do it.
Joe Thornton needs to be suspended.
Yes. I mean, no.
For, I mean, this between him and Rob Gronkowski, what message are we sending?
Yes. To the troops
today. Oh, this is why this sort of garbage is why ratings in the NHL are plummeting and or flat and or going up. I have no idea.
Yeah.
And I think that Joe Thornton should be suspended, and Tom Wilson should
get a raise,
given the Hart Trophy.
Get a raise, yeah. You should get something. Yeah, like I don't know. This is the thing about hockey that really drives me insane as somebody who likes to watch hockey is like Joe Thornton's hit. Let's say if TJ Oshie stays on his feet, he doesn't fall down and Joe Thornton hits him. It's probably not even going to be a penalty. Probably should be interference, 2 minutes, because Thornton's going over there and hitting a guy late. You know, he's going in ass first, the textbook ass first check, and Oshie slips and falls. And now his face is right up against his ass. And if anyone's coming at you, who's a tall giant person, and they're coming at you fast ass first, they're going to hit you in the head when you're hip high to the ass, and you're going to get hurt. And my thing is just like, my thing about hockey, like fighting in hockey is just stupid. Tom Wilson fighting Joe Thornton 2 seconds after that or 22 minutes after that doesn't bring TJ Oshie back. It doesn't prevent the next guy from getting hit. It's extremely stupid. But in terms of the context of the hockey code, you know, Joe Thornton answering the bell, Tom Wilson sticking up for his teammates, I kind of agree with the Pete DeBoer sentiment of, you know what, if you thought that hit was so bad at the time, why don't you just jump him right then and there and settle it right away? Why go to the locker room for 17 minutes, watch the replay, come out, force this guy to fight? Like, if you're in a close game, you should never. And the other thing, too, is a 5-minute penalty seems like a lot. It's 5 minutes out of 20 in the third period. But, I mean, it's really only two shifts, probably at most. Joe Thornton misses, and they're probably going to lose that game anyway. But I hate the whole standing up for the teammate thing. I've written about this a million times. Like if you don't want to get hit accidentally, cleanly, illegally, legally, don't play hockey, man. Like you're going to get hit illegally sometimes. Like this whole sticking up for your teammate and fighting thing is just so stupid. It doesn't prevent anything. It does. Oh, if you're a teammate on the bench, you feel really good about seeing your, why? Who cares? Like it's not preventing anything. It's not bringing TJ Oshie back. Like you want, you know, pound of flesh or an eye for an eye and all that crap. I don't know.
Two things here. First of all, if hip high to the ass isn't the title of this episode of the podcast,
I've already typed it out. Yeah.
Very, very disappointed. And yeah, I mean the thing with, well, you know, he waited until the next period. I mean, first of all, I'm assuming that Tom Wilson probably wasn't on the ice when the initial hit happened. But even if he is, like if he skates over right away while Joe Thornton's looking down at TJ and grabs him, then we're all going to say, oh, well, you didn't give the guy a chance to defend himself. You just went over. In this case, and it was a little weird. Like I got to admit, the replay of the fight kind of comes in right as the fight's starting. But he doesn't jump him.
Oh, no. They skate around for a while. Yeah.
They square off. They do the little pose down thing.
They pose down. Do they take their shirts off and like flex?
There was some flexing and So I don't know. I mean, it's the kind of thing where it's sort of, you know, if you're Tom Wilson or whoever on the Washington Capitals and you feel like this is something you need to respond to, you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't, as far as when you do it. You know, yeah. I think if anything, if somebody is going to get it in their head that they want to fight my star player, who's not a fighter, I would prefer them to do it that way, where they, you know, skate up, offer the invitation, at least let the guy get set and ready to defend himself. I mean, if Joe Thornton says no and skates away, we don't know what Tom Wilson's next move is, but I don't know. I think we've been through this. You and I are kind of on different pages as far as the fighting for teammates and responding to hits and the code and all of this stuff. And I get it. I feel like my side of this debate is definitely losing ground.
You're a dinosaur, Sean, a dinosaur.
I'm on my way.
I might be. You're a pterodactyl. That's what you are, which is definitely a dinosaur. Yeah. I mean,
I'm just saying back in my day,
we're the same age.
An ass hit to the face would have been dealt with.
Maybe that's a problem. Maybe like they insulted their manhood and like, oh, he put his butt in my face, I got to get him back. Like you gave him what's that thing called where you fart on your friend's pillow and they get pink eye. There's like a term for that. It was in that stupid Seth Rogen movie where they have the baby. I forget what the hell it's called. Maybe that's what they were doing. But what's funny too is like all the stuff that will come out of this game is going to be about that. And meanwhile, like Brendan Dillon, he should get like 5 games for that slash. Like it's like Radko Gudas, except instead of someone's head, it's someone's hand. And it's always a good player. It's always Kuznetsov. You know, it's never Tom Wilson that gets slashed. And Brendan Dillon, I think, is going to have a hearing. He should have a hearing.
Well, I think we're recording this as like Tuesday afternoon. So we haven't seen anything official, but the unofficial word from the sort of people who tend to be plugged into this was that they didn't think anything was going to come of the Thornton Oshie thing, but they did think out of everything that the slash was potentially going to be an issue and going to be something that would be looked at in some depth and considered for a suspension.
What do you think? I think 3 games.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I don't know. They haven't.
That'd be one.
Is this the first slashing suspension that we would have since they cracked down?
Does Gudas technically count as a slash? I don't know.
That felt like a different thing to me. Like
guillotining.
I just wonder if it's tied in right to the crackdown. Like if the fact that they sort of lowered the bar for what counts as a slashing penalty, if part of that was also that they wanted to crack down on more severe slashes, or maybe they felt like those were already being appropriately take care. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, by the time you hear this, you'll know that Brendan Dillon was given a stern talking. I feel like stern talking to is going to be the bottom line here. Like the Radko Gudas got like 5 of those. I think they'll give Brendan Dillon a stern talking to about slashing people's hands and
slap on the wrist.
I get it. Slap on the wrist. That's clever. That's good stuff. Yeah. So I'm glad we settled that debate. I know people wanted, we went to do this at the top of the show. We should apologize to everybody for not remembering Robin Leonard as the absolute perfect co-fighter for John Quick.
Go back on that, because last week we had, in our defense, we had like 30 seconds to talk about which current goaltender would make for the best goalie fight or the most likely goalie fight. And we threw a few names out there, and I think the other 59 minutes of the podcast got like
no one cared.
5 responses. But,
no one cared. We blew the ending.
People were very adamant that Robin Leonard, obviously. I feel like part of me feels like Robert Leonard is he's so big and crazy that I wouldn't be surprised if he goes his whole career without ever having anyone come after him.
Oh, because they're too scared. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's one of those guys where if he's in the mix, you're, as the other goalie, you're suddenly like very distracted by something that's happening with your blocker or up in the stands and you don't quite make, or you do that thing where you skate down, but you make like you take the exact right angle so that the referee is in front of you. Because the referee is always the one who like shoos the goaltender away. that's their main job and that sort of thing. So you just skate right for the referee, and then you're like, I'm sorry, Robin, I can't do it. And then the other one that people mention that is a good one is Mike Smith. Because Mike Smith is definitely...
Yeah. I didn't like that one because I like the jokes about how like John Quick would like swing and miss on a punch and then Mike Smith would fall down and act like he got hurt. I thought that was funny. I don't think Mike Smith is a real fighter type though, is he?
I don't know if fighter type, but I mean he is the king of flipping out and destroying his goal stick, which is usually a good sign of goaltender craziness.
But like John Quick is that guy too. So I feel like if they were to ever really fight, they'd just be like, "Come on, let's go." Yeah, come on, let's go. No, you go.
I feel like Quick and Smith would be the most likely pairing, especially since they're in the same division. Because you're right, there is that kind of Quick. Was it Quick and Crawford in the playoffs? Remember they bumped on the way off the ice?
Yeah, I think that's
everyone got excited for 3 seconds, and then they both just left.
Yeah. Because I think Corey Crawford would probably destroy John. I think that's the thing. Like Jonathan Quick is like 5'8" and like 180 pounds. He's like if Robin Leonard ever
John
got a hold
Quick
of him,
is not fighting Robin Leonard. That's
no,
not like if those two did wind up paired off, what resulted from that would not be by any realistic definition of the word considered a fight.
Yeah, it would be like the Mountain versus Oberon, where like the Mountain would just crush Oberon's skull. Like that's what John Quick would not come back from that ever. And the other thing too, in my defense, like I've talked to Robin Leonard a few times in my life, and he's like really the nicest guy. He's like so thoughtful, mm-hmm. and like he's I would define him as a sweet man. And I never would picture him like snapping at a question. So like I didn't think of him as snapping it. But yeah, that's where we should have gone.
And as we all know, the way a hockey player responds to hockey reporters is that is their character. That's all you need to know about a man.
John Scott's a great guy, great human being.
At his locker?
Yeah, how is he at his locker, man? Boy, you know that's what? It. That Connor McDavid, total bum. But that Chris Russell, the way he stood up there and answered questions about scoring into his own net, to me makes him a Hart Trophy / Norris Trophy candidate. That's who
is
he
is.
Is
it going to be weird in like 5 years when the Edmonton media like gets together for the Christmas party and every child is named either Chris or Russell
or Zach?
And, like, there's just a lineup of kids to see Santa, and Santa's just like, all right, Chris and or Russell, you're next.
this is my son Zach and my daughter Cassian. Oh, they're just two scrappy kids that just
I have never seen a local media that loves a player and will defend him more than they love Chris Russell.
Yep, he's the best.
Who had, you know, a bit of a rough moment last week when he sniped on his own net. Let's be honest. We tend to think, oh yeah, this guy scored in his own net, but usually it's like, you know, it went off his skaters, you know, accidental deflection. Chris Russell sniped that.
It came off the stick like a rocket. And the best part too was like the next game they play against Calgary. Calgary storming back from down 6-1 or whatever it was. They get it to 5-1 and they get it to 5-4 or 6-5, whatever it was. And then there's a 2-on-1 the other way, and like TJ Brody's back defending it, and like the pass is an aerial pass that hits off a stick and goes in, and everyone's like, "Oh, see how that can happen to anybody." Yeah, that's not the same thing. No, it's not the same thing.
But my favorite part of that play was that Chris Russell was on the ice and the camera immediately cuts to him as he's at the Oilers bench, and like his teammates are like patting him on the back, and you could just tell he's like, can you guys not do that?
He's like, fuck off. Please leave me alone. I don't want to think about that.
I don't want this to be my thing. Like, can you not?
His thing. Every time that happens in a game, everyone's like, hey, Chris, remember that time? Yeah, I do. I was there. I totally remember it. But speaking of elite defensemen that you have to pay a lot of money for, Drew Doughty and Erik Karlsson are going to be free agents extremely soon. UFAs out on the market.
Yeah.
And it's just too bad that Erik Karlsson isn't good anymore, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it's a shame that this is bad timing for him.
It's too bad.
He's had 9 bad games or whatever in a row. But yeah, I actually found this story really interesting because, look at what we had with Steven Stamkos, right? And Steven Stamkos made it actually to free agency and a couple of days in before he re-signed in Tampa. I don't remember him ever, like the biggest controversy was like one time when he liked a tweet,
mm-hmm.
that mentioned the Maple Leafs. Like, that was his, other than that, he never said anything. He never did anything. John Tavares is in the situation right now. I don't think John Tavares has said anything.
Nope.
That could remotely interesting about this. Like, everyone's keeping quiet. And then here comes, you know, Drew Doughty, and he gives a fascinating interview to Craig Custance, where he's talking about hitting free agency in 2019 and all his thoughts on it, and how he's going to work with Erik Karlsson to make sure that they get the right amount of money, and how he should be making more than PK Subban. And at one point starts going off about how much fun it would be to play for the Maple Leafs and how much he loves Mike Babcock and all this other stuff. And you're sitting there going like, wow, well, that's
great.
That's crazy. You never see that. And then here comes Erik Karlsson like 2 days later, and in only slightly more subdued way, basically says the same sort of stuff to the Ottawa media, saying, you know, I'm going to get what I'm worth, and I'm not taking any discounts. And it's the owners treat it like business, and so I'm going to treat it the same way. And so now suddenly you've got the two guys from what in theory could be a really good class of 2019 free agency. And I say in theory because we do this all the time, right? We look ahead 2 years and you go, look at all the guys who might be free agent, and then none of them ever actually make it there. But now you got at least the two guys at the top of the list who sound like they kind of do want to at least test the waters, which makes you wonder, you know, how does that trickle down to everybody else? And could we actually get real free agency in this league for the first time since the lockout, if not before then?
And it's the thing that I think people should take from this isn't that Drew Doughty thinks he's worth it more than PK Subban. Like, that's fine if he thinks that. He's not, but whatever. Is that these two guys sat down with media people, either one-on-one or in a scrum or whatever, and said, yeah, I'm going to get paid. I'm going to make so much money on my next contract that it's going to be sick. And then like a couple days went by and nothing happened. The world continued to move. They talked openly and honestly about their contract situations. Drew Doughty talked honestly about wanting to play for possibly another team while he's still under contract for a season and a half with another team. And everyone was just kind of like, yeah, who could blame the guy wanting to play for Toronto? Who could blame the guy who wants to get paid a bunch of money while he's the best defenseman in hockey? And I think it's great. Yeah. I think it's great.
Although, you know, like being, I don't know how, I would assume that the Drew Doughty comments, like to me, out of the two, his were more,
edgy, whatever.
Surprising or edgy. Because I mean, he did mention another team, and he did seem to be really looking ahead. Whereas Erik Karlsson was still a little bit more in the realm of the theoretical. I don't know how Doughty's comments are playing in LA, but being up here in Ottawa, where Erik Karlsson is obviously they love him up here. He's the most popular player on the team by a mile. But I'm already starting to hear from some, a minority of the fans who are kind of already starting down that path of, well, you know, if Erik Karlsson wants to win and doesn't just want a paycheck, then he's going to have to accept that he won't be able to make the blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you can just start to see, you know, like I say, it's a small number so far, but you can see those little cracks starting to form and those little, you know, people kind of lining up on, all right, what side am I going to be on here? And it'll be interesting to see how the Karlsson thing plays out, because there's a whole ownership situation here in Ottawa right now. There's all sorts of speculation about whether Eugene Melnyk is going to continue as the sole owner or the majority owner, or even as an owner at all. There's lots of rumors as to who else might be waiting in the wings to kind of step in and take a run at this team. There's an arena situation. There's a lot of stuff going on over the next year and a half between now and when Erik Karlsson becomes a free agent. And I don't know. I was talking to someone a couple of weeks ago before.
A source?
I don't know. Somebody who knows, the Senators situation a lot better than I do. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
And this was before Karlsson's comments. But we were talking about, you know, Erik Karlsson needing a new deal, and, you know, and we were talking about how much it would be. And I kind of made a passing comment like, well, I mean, we know he's going to resign. We know he's going to be back in Ottawa. And the person kind of made one of those faces where it was like, and I was like, oh, come on, there's no, he's not going to actually go to free agency. And the impression I got, I don't want to, I certainly don't want to overstate it, but the impression I got is that the chances are, you know, very much, it's much more likely than not that Erik Karlsson stays in Ottawa, because that's just what star players do. But that I shouldn't assume it was a sure thing, the way you might in some other cases, because there are a lot of moving parts here.
Okay.
And the other thing with Erik Karlsson is, like, Erik Karlsson is, I in my opinion, he is the, in the entire league, he is the best player on his team by the widest margin. You know what I mean? Like, if he took,
compared to the second best guy on the team.
Yeah. He is, I put him at the top of that list, and he has been underpaid on this contract. And he signed, it was a big deal when he signed it. You know, I don't think he took any discounts or anything, but based on what he's done, I mean, he's the third highest paid player on his own team. He makes less than Dion Phaneuf. He makes less than Bobby Ryan in terms of cap hit. And you wouldn't trade both those guys combined for,
no,
for, you know, in a million years. So I, you know, it kind of puts the Senators in a tough position if they want to come back to him and say, you know, we need you to take a little bit less, take one for the team here so that we can put a team around you. Cause he's sitting there going, I've been making way less than I should have for the last few years. Who did you put around me with that money?
Yes. Yes. First of all, was your source Daniel Alfredson? Is that the person you talked to? Was he the guy? No.
I can't confirm.
Ooh, that's a yes.
It may or may not have been the half naked gladiator from the pregame.
Russell Crowe?
No. You do remember that, right? The half naked gladiator situation that.
You mean like Zap and all the people from American Gladiators?
This was years ago, but it before one of their playoff games, they, you know how like every team has their little playoff tradition, and they decided to launch this new tradition of having a half naked gladiator guy go out and fire up the crowd.
Oh, really?
And it's, I mean, you have to search it. I'm not going to sit here and advise people to go and like run a YouTube search for half naked gladiator, because I can't be responsible for what might, but search like Senator Gladiator introduction, because it's just a thing of beauty. Like, he gets out there and the crowd's going nuts and he starts to talk and like his mic keeps cutting out, and then like at one point they kind of shoot him from behind and you can see that he has his speech taped to his shield, and then like he goes to lift his sword but he like hits himself in the head and his helmet starts falling off, and it's a total disaster. And then just when he hits the big peak of the speech about how we're going to rise up and cut, like the Penguins pick that moment to come out on the ice, so all the fans start booing. it's honestly one of the all-time greatest moments. And needless to say, the guy was like, it was intended to be like the Senators' new thing.
Never happened again.
And he was never seen again.
Here's my Jerry Springer final thoughts on the Karlsson thing. The one way Ottawa can kind of work a bargain here is if the one thing I think we're kind of glossing over is the fact that Erik Karlsson has like 1¾ feet at this point, and he's also not playing well. So
Right. Maybe
the Ottawa Senators are like, look, you know, you might not be the same guy you used to be, but we're still willing to give you X amount of dollars over X amount of years. Maybe you want to take that and not risk being bad for the next year and a half. And then everyone's saying, well, he's done because of the foot surgery. So there's that. And the other thing too is, I feel like this 9-game stretch, it's not a coincidence that it correlates with the arrival of Matt Duchene and his inability to do anything at 5-on-5, because it's probably not. Kyle Turris is in Ottawa just racking up points every night, racking up wins, and the Ottawa Senators were like, hey, let's mess with the roster that got to one goal of the Stanley Cup final last year, and let's swap out Turris for Duchene. So that's probably really the reason why there's a situation here. But the other thing too is him asking for like the thing with Doughty. Yeah, he comes out and says, Toronto, it's a nice little town. They got good shawarma there. I like the arena. It's nice downtown. Real Sports is a cool bar. And everyone's like, ooh, he said Toronto. And while Karlsson doesn't specifically name another team, if you play for the Ottawa Senators and you're super awesome and you're like, I want to get the most money possible, you're essentially naming every other team in the league as a possible destination because Ottawa's not going to give you that.
You're not really narrowing it down.
Yeah, you're basically saying, I'm willing to go to like 27 other teams and it's going to be awesome when they pay me what I'm worth. And Ottawa's like, wait, we don't do that. We don't pay guys, but they're worth, unless we trade for him, then we'll do it. But otherwise, we're probably not going to do it. So all in all, I enjoyed it. I hope it happens more. I hope there's more Kevin Durant super teams in this league and they combine forces and give like a weird team like Carolina.
Well, that's the other thing, right? Because everyone's like, oh, wouldn't it be it'll be great if these two make it to free agency. And let's be clear. Everyone else who's not a Senators or a Kings fan is saying that because they think it would be cool if their team signed one of these guys and they would get to free agency first. And then you see them being buddies and there is that kind of party that's like, wait, are they going to pull like a Solani Korea here? And what if they went and signed at the same, at which point that would wipe the smirk off of all of our faces, except for the fans of that one team, because you'd be like, oh, all right, well now we know who's winning the Stanley Cup for the next however many years. Like, it's all fun and games until they both take the league minimum to go to the Blackhawks.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, what if they take like $3 million a piece to go to Nashville? And you have like Subban, Ellis, Yossi, Doughty, and Carlson for like 2 or 3 years when they're still at their peak. Oh, that'd be so much fun. That's what I want.
And you know, the other thing is what happens if you get, and you know, it's sort of the same thing as what we saw with Tavares, but what happens if we get into next season?
Oh yeah.
And you're halfway through and you know, these guys haven't signed yet and they still are making these indications that they want to get to free agency. Do you work a trade? And I feel like if you're the LA Kings, you could probably get away with not trading Drew Doughty because you say, look, we won 2 Stanley Cups with this guy. The Drew Doughty era was a success. If he leaves, he leaves, and we live with it. Now, the Kings, by that point, might be in a stage where they need a rebuild, and trading Drew Doughty would be the perfect way to kick that off. So who knows? But if you're the Senators, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
You got to get stuff.
I have no idea because I mean, the thing with the Senators has always been, not should they rebuild, but can they rebuild? Do they feel like they can take a step back for a couple of years and know they're not going to make the playoffs when that's such a key part of their revenue projections? I have no idea what you do if you're Pierre Dorion and it's December 2018 and Erik Karlsson not only has not signed, but is still occasionally going, yeah, you know, I wouldn't mind getting a free agency, especially assuming that, you know, the Senators are a similar team then as they are now, which is to say like playoff bubble team, but not much more than that. I would not want to be the one who had to make that decision. And like I said this on Twitter, and I'm sure it's true of Doughty as well, but just knowing the Ottawa market the way I know them, watch very closely to see like what kind of message gets subtly put out into the media over the next little while. If it's something along the lines of, hey, look, Erik Karlsson's a great player and we'll figure out a way to get this done, then good. That's probably the way it'll go. If you start subtly hearing stuff about how, you know, Erik Karlsson needs to maybe be a bit more of a team player and maybe, you know, if you start hearing that and you start seeing that slip into media coverage and it seems like it might be coming from somewhere within the team, that's when you look out, because that will be your sign that this might not be heading towards the obvious and simple resolution that we all kind of still assume it will wind up at.
So what else you want to talk about? We got like 15, 20 minutes left and there's like 9 things we could talk about, but it's your show too. I want you to guide us. What do you think?
I mean, we haven't had a chance in quite a while to talk about the Flyers winning a game.
Wait, that happened. That's right. That did happen.
It did. Yeah, one last night. So the Flyers snap a 10-game losing streak, which, I mean, we knew that would happen eventually. But what I found interesting was before the game, where Ron Hextall, not only did he give a vote of confidence to Dave Hextall, but he sounded like he kind of almost guaranteed his job for the rest of the year.
And beyond. As the tweet
and
said.
And even beyond. And yeah. Beyond. It wasn't even like we'll evaluate at the end of the year. It was, this is our coach, which is, I don't know. There's.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's, and I mean, you as a Giants fan would know that that sort of guarantee doesn't necessarily...
Longest sigh ever.
That doesn't necessarily guarantee anything. But that's the kind of thing usually
if he benches Claude Giroux in the next 2 weeks, then yeah, he's probably going to get fired. But otherwise, he's probably good.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the kind of thing you say for one of two reasons. Either number one, you're just sick of being asked about it and you're trying to get the media to stop bugging you, which I think is a valid reason to say anything. Or number two is when you think or you know that there are players on the team who want the coach gone. And you're sending the message to them that it's absolutely not happening. So you got to figure it out yourself and start changing the way you're going about things. And I hadn't heard anything coming out of Philadelphia that the players were quitting on this guy or that he was getting anything. And Hextall had also made the point that, you know, well, and some people kind of made fun of him a little bit when he said, you know, we've lost 10 in a row, but we're not playing that bad. To some extent, he did have a point. Like, I mean, they four losses in overtime, maybe one more in the shootout.
Like, yeah. You know, that's funny.
But yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. So the Flyers, I don't know. And then the other team, there aren't many teams the Flyers can still look down on. But the Buffalo Sabres, who have now passed, or I guess been passed by the Coyotes. I mean, remember it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Coyotes were in the middle of the worst start literally in history.
Ever.
Had already had dead last locked up, and now they have passed the Sabres. And the Sabres have games in hand, but I mean, you're talking about last place teams. I don't think those games in hand matter quite as much. And the Sabres are just coming off a stretch where they got shut out 3 times in a row, first time in franchise history that's ever happened, and then scored one goal in the third period against the Penguins in a 5-1 loss to prevent that from 4 games in a row. I mean, this is just... I feel like every week I write that the Sabres have hit rock bottom, and then I have to go and revise it the week after, because they're a total disaster. And I mean, you can't say fire the coach. Coach is already fired. You can't say fire the GM. You already got a new GM. You can say strip it down and rebuild, but
it's already kind of stripped down already. Yeah.
Like, what did you just spend the last few years doing? Like, it feels like the Sabres did the classic rebuild, which is to say they tanked as hard as they could possibly tank for a few years. And it's starting to look like they kind of came away with that with Jack Eichel and not all that much else as far as like key core pieces that you build everything around.
It's like they stripped down the car and then like forgot to like rebuild it. They're just kind of like driving around that has like one door.
They thought they had, but it's just...
They have no goals from their defensemen this year, right? Is that still true? I think they have zero goals from anyone that plays D. That's a problem in a league.
I mean, the blue line has been an issue, and I know it's, you know, it's easy to say, well, go fix the blue line. And
Eric Carlson and Drew Doughty. Boom. Look at that. Dave and Sean fix the Sabres.
There it is. Gary Pegula's got the money.
Speaking of fixing things, do you want to yell at me before we sign off? I know you wanted to yell at me on Twitter, but you didn't do it. I know you want to yell at me.
Is this about your terrible overtime?
It's one of the mailbag questions, and I feel like to do the full yelling, I want to give you some runway for it. I don't want you to rush it.
Okay.
Tell me why 3-on-3 overtime is good. Tell me why it's good.
Yeah. So this was your terrible and don't let me mischaracterize it, but no? I think your take was...
Go ahead.
And I'm quoting you, derp derp. My name's Dave. I love the shootout.
Yeah. I mean, I think I said my name is David, but yeah, that's pretty much it.
No, but I've heard this from other people as well, and I will fully concede that 3-on-3 overtime is every bit as gimmicky as the shootout.
A little more gimmicky,
and in fact, maybe even more gimmicky in the sense that 3-on-3 hockey in regulation is
never even
rarer than penalty shots. So, but just because it's more, just because it is gimmicky, first of all, it's gimmicky in a way that is closer to real hockey.
It is.
It absolutely is. It has passing. It has back checking. It has, you know, guys covering lanes and gaps and all. I mean, it is absolutely, it's not 5-on-5 hockey, but that is far closer to real hockey. If somebody came down and you had to explain to them what the NHL was, but for some reason you couldn't use any footage of 5-on-5 hockey, you would show them 3-on-3 before you would show them the shootout. You would show them 3-on-3 and go, okay, now imagine that with a few extra players.
Okay.
If you showed them the shootout, you would have to be like, okay, but also there's a clock and there's this and there's that.
I do admit that if I were to show Space Aliens how hockey worked, I'd show them 3-on-3 before the shootout. You have me there. That's true.
So based on the Space Alien principle, it's far closer to real hockey, but more importantly, it's far more fun. It is far more fun than the shootout.
Yes, but
okay. I will tell you right now, we're now into what? It's the
third
first
year.
Week of December.
Oh, yeah.
First week of December. I have literally not watched one shootout this year live. And that's partly because the team I watch, the Maple Leafs, have only had like one or two of them. But when I'm watching, when I'm sitting down to watch hockey at night and a game I'm watching goes to the shootout, and there's five other games already on that are playing actual hockey, like, forget, I'll find out who won the coin flip on Twitter. And if somebody pulls some amazing move, then I'll see it in the highlights.
Wait, but by the coin flip, do you mean the shootout or 3-on-3? Which coin flip do you mean?
The shootout.
Okay.
The shootout is the boring coin flip. I'll watch the exciting coin flip.
Why? Because like exciting coin flip goes higher in the air before it comes down. Is that what makes it more exciting? Okay.
No, 3-on-3 is the more exciting coin flip. And the thing with 3-on-3 is, like, I acknowledge that 3-on-3 is not always amazing. It's not five great minutes all the time. The secret of 5-on-5, or 3-on-3 rather, is it's great when they're going back and forth. As soon as one team gets into the zone and starts setting up, it turns
awful.
Into a bit of a mess.
Oh,
because then there's nobody to pass to, and you just get like that horrible play where like the one guy just circles around for 20 seconds and then just dumps the puck in and they go off for a change. So, I mean, that's certainly not great, but I mean, some of these overtimes are great. Like that, the Carolina Florida overtime a couple of days ago, like that was fantastic. There are no shootouts, you know, other than Merrick Malik, there have been no shootouts that you would hold up as, you know, even close to the best overtime of any particular week. And even, you know, like the Chris Russell goal, the reason everyone was mad about that is because it cost them 3-on-3 overtime between Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid, which would have been amazing. Nobody's sad that they lost the chance to see the Leafs and Oilers have a shootout, because I think at this point, like, the novelty of the shootout is just worn off. And maybe overtime I'll get there too, but it's not there yet for me. I mean, this is, if there's overtime on a game somewhere, I'm flipping over to that game. If overtime ends and the shootout starts, I'm flipping away and I'm going to watch something else.
Okay, here's where you're wrong. It's almost everywhere. You're wrong almost entirely in your argument. The one thing you're right about is, yeah, 3-on-3, when it gets in the zone and there's no, you know, there's no odd man rush one way or the other, you can't cycle. You can't do anything unless John Tavares, you know, takes off Sean Couturier's pants with one hand on his stick and makes a crazy pass. You still need a second shot opportunity to get the puck in, by the way. The goalie makes the save, the rebound, they score. As we've moved forward, and we knew this was going to happen, coaches were going to ruin 3-on-3. And now when teams, like it used to be when a team had the puck in the zone and there was no rush, it was a 3-on-3, you know, half cycle or whatever, they would just force it. And then eventually the shot would go wide, the shot would get blocked, and be a breakaway or 2-on-1. And now they pull the puck out, they shoot it back to the goalie, guy goes off for changes, both teams change, and then we do the whole thing over again because you need a guy. The problem for me with 3-on-3 is you need a guy to fall down. You need a bad bad bounce on bad ice to have a 2-on-1 or a breakaway the other
way.
But
then once that happens,
it's still a bad way to decide a game.
Then you go back and forth, and it's like I would much rather see a game decided on a 2-on-1 than on a shootout.
See that's the heart of why 3-on-3 seems better than it is, because you're comparing it to the worst way to decide a hockey game ever. If you have that for like 10 years,
but that's our only other option, right?
No, we can end games in ties. We can go 4-on-4 for 10 minutes. 4-on-4.
I'm fine with it. I would be fine with ending games in ties, but I've come to realize that that's just a non-starter for a lot of people or for whatever. I'm old school. I'm fine with ties. You want to do 10 minutes of overtime, let's do that too. But you know, if the option is, you know, if we want real hockey is 5-on-5, and real hockey in today's NHL doesn't produce many goals, which means the odds of it ending of overtime ending in a goal and us not having to endure a shootout are pretty minimum, assuming that the idea is maximum chance of a goal with as much resemblance to real hockey as we can get. I think the ideal would be to do 10 minutes of overtime.
Yes.
But if that for some reason is an issue for the players or whatever, then 5-on-5 or 3-on-3 for 5 minutes is a pretty good option out of a list of options that range from pretty good to outright terrible.
My overall feeling is 3-on-3 is of course more fun by light years than a shootout. But I do feel like a shootout is the better way to give out the extra point than 3-on-3, because there's less luck involved. There's less relying on breakdowns. Because if you have a breakdown at 5-on-5, there's four other guys there. You have a breakdown at 3-on-3, it just becomes a glorified shootout. So for me, when 3-on-3 is really good, it's better than a shootout. It's not even close. I'm not saying a shootout is better, but I do think a shootout is a better way to give away 33% of available points and how it affects the standings. I'd rather have it be that. And I'd also not like overtime wins to count the same as regulation wins. Like there should just be OT shootout wins and regulation wins, but they don't do that yet. So I got a lot of problems with you 3-on-3 people. But that's pretty much all of them.
So I think that the main thing I'm hearing from you is that you acknowledge that 3-on-3 is way better than the shootout.
Oh yeah, of course it is. It's way better than the shootout for entertainment purposes. I don't think it is better in terms of being the proper way to decide who wins. Not that either way is proper, but you know.
Then let's get rid of the extra point.
Yes, yes.
And
of course.
No, I'm with you. I mean, the 3-2-1 point system is the best option, and if we can't have that. What I would do when I'm commissioner, we're going to do...
God damn it, I got passed over?
Ugh. Yeah.
Fucking Canada.
You're my assistant. You're my Bill Daly.
That's good. I'm bald already, so I might as well put on a few pounds and do the thing.
If we can't do 3-2-1, then it's 3-on-3 overtime for 10 minutes, followed by a shootout. The winner gets 2 points. The loser gets 0 points. And if you want to go, well, we shouldn't get 0 points because it was a shootout, you had 10 minutes of quasi hockey to actually score a goal. And if your coach put out two defensemen and told you to play a system and run out the clock, then don't come crying to me that you worked 70 plus minutes and didn't get any points. It's sports. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Some are born to sing the blues. That question was technically from Hockey Joe. We'll count that as one of the mailbag questions. We got Pat Before Winter, who goes by the name, wow, hey, it's Pat on Twitter. He says, did the Devils actually make a smart move trading Henrique for Vatanen? And the short answer is yes, they did. Very smart.
Yeah. I mean, I know Vatanen's a guy that some of the analytics people feel might maybe is not quite as good as his reputation. But, I mean, that's a good hockey trade. It's a team. We got lots of defensemen and we're weak up front. You guys are weak on the blue line. You've got an extra center. This stuff isn't that hard. We should see more trades like this, because you know, not every trade has to instantly be, oh, you won and you lost. This is that was a trade that worked for both teams and made sense for both teams.
Co-captain W Looper. I don't know what that means. At W Looper says, does it make sense for the Canes to make a significant offer for Ryan O'Reilly?
Yeah, I saw that one. Because this again, like the report from Buffalo was they're open for business and everyone's available other than Jack Eichel.
It's a big contract though.
It is a real big contract, but I mean, I don't know. Is he really that much better than Jordan Staal?
You know, like, is it really going to matter if you get Ryan O'Reilly?
I think my answer would be, I don't know that it makes sense for Carolina to make a big offer for him. I think it might make sense for Carolina to kind of kick the tires and find out how interested are the Sabres in maybe changing the mix and making significant changes. And is this something where maybe we can get a guy without having to make a great big offer and maybe even get him at a bit of a discount, or if the Sabres are willing to eat a little salary or take some back. Okay. I think it's worth making the phone call.
Boston Chef Al. It's either Al or AI. I can't tell if that's a lowercase L or a capital I. But he wants to know, should the NHL consider altering its default camera view from east-west to north-south, like the EA NHL video games? My answer is yes, but I don't know how they do it because you got a big old jumbotron on the way. So you can't really do the spider cam that the NFL does. But I love the NFL thing when they were doing that on Sunday night. So if they could,
I have a harder time adjusting to it. I love the idea in theory, but every time I'm watching a game and, like, you know, they'll switch on the power play and just do the
behind it. I love that.
And I'm always like, I'm always, when they switch over, I'm like, yes. And then after a few seconds, I'm like, okay, switch it back. I've been watching it the old way for too long. So my answer is I'm probably the wrong person to ask because,
Sean.
Exactly. But, I like the concept more than I've liked it in practice, but maybe over time I get used to it because I like all these views for the replays, and I love that we've got the ref cam now, and I love that we've got that view from, like, the corner boards. You know the one I'm talking about?
What, you mean like when the ref is, like, looking at, like, a 2-on-1 from that side angle type thing? Like, you know
it's
what I mean?
Usually, a lot of times they break it out for face-offs. It's actually down. Somebody told me it's called, like, the ankle cam or something because it's actually down in the dasher of the boards. And I don't. Maybe you guys don't have this. Maybe this isn't something that's common down in the US, but we have it up here for the Hockey Night Canada broadcast, and it's great. It looks so good, and it's a lot, they'll show face-offs from that view and then some of the replays. It's too limited to show game action, but I love that thing. I think that's even better than the ref cam. So I'm good with a lot of these new views for showing me different pieces and sides of the game. It's just when it's actual game action, I think I'm too used to the old school side view.
All right, two more. One for me, one for you real quick. Adam Hill, does Dave admit he was wrong about Crawford Darling? Absolutely not. Carolina's team stinks in front of him. Darling gives up a bad goal here and there, like the really bad Zibanejad goal, but man, that team stinks in front of him. So I'm going to say no, I'm still not wrong. And for you, Mutt0311, what does Sean hate about Canada? Turn against your country for a couple seconds, and then we'll go.
Oh, what do I hate about Canada?
What do you hate about Canada? Sucks. Come on, there's got to be something.
Just in general, I mean, obviously the weather is not fantastic.
People are great though.
The people are nice. The food's fine. It's poutine and beaver tails are kind of, they're fine. Some of the neighbors are iffy.
There we go. I feel like if we had more time by like minute 10 of this question, you'd be like, you know, and the other thing too about the economy is they don't hire. And like, I feel like we could really dig our teeth into this, but
yeah, I feel like this is going to end with me like furiously making notes later this afternoon. And then we're going to have an emergency podcast. It's just me doing a full heel turn on my nation.
Justin Trudeau does not understand a good tax plan if it would have smacked him in the face. It's really ridiculous. All right, Sean, we got to go. No, we don't have to go. You have to go. Well, I guess we do have to go. We're at like an hour. We got to an hour, right? We did a good podcast today. I want to thank everyone in this room with me, which includes me and Marina Kozlok.
Yeah, thanks very much, Marina.
She's gonna leave, and someone else will be here next week, and they're going to have to break them in with the whole hockey stuff because Marina knows hockey and now this new person probably won't. But thank you for all your help and assistance, and good luck in your future That doesn't involve us. And go check us out on Vice, on Twitter at Vice Biscuits. And yeah, check us out on Vice. Go to vice.com, something or other, and you'll see us there. People seem to always want you to rate you five stars on iTunes. Do that too. That's a thing people always say. I don't know if that matters, but we always have to say it.
And go check our stuff out. Check my Tuesday post on Sportsnet. Is a big post about Jacob Markstrom chasing an NHL record that should actually be impossible to break, but he's about to do it anyways. I wrote it mainly for Jacob Markstrom, but honestly, it was like 80% so that I could just write cool stuff about Poki Rettich.
Is it possible that he will have broken the record by the time people hear this?
I would have to check the schedule. It is it is possible, I think.
I hope it happens. I hope it happens.
It will be very close, but the fact that I've written about it almost guarantees that he won't, because I pitched the idea to my editor on Saturday, and Saturday night he came within 2 minutes of blowing it, which would have been purely just to spite me.
And then you'll hate Canada. All right. Well, thanks everybody. And we'll see you next week for episode 6 of Biscuits : a hockey podcast. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.